for a late start. The maimer we're going to learn this morning was delivered by the Rebbe in the year 1971. The Parshas Vayigash, and the date was just 2 days off this Shabbos. This is Hey Tevis, a very special day. This was Zion Tevis. Vayigash Tov Shalom Adveiz. The maimer opens with a quote from the Haftorah, which is from the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. V'David avdi nasi lahem le'olam. My servant David will be a leader over them for eternity. U'mevur ba'asfarim, it's explained in the Sfarim, Sfarim of Chassidus, especially the Sfarim of the Rebbe, that explain the shaychus, the connection between the Haftarah, between the additional reading that's added on, and between the Sedra. So what's the connection? The connection between this idea of David Avdi Nasi Lehem Le'ilam. So the Haftarah of Parshas Vayigash talks about the futuristic vision, where there's two paths, or two backgrounds, or two approaches, two dimensions, represented by two trees. There's something called Eitz Yosef, something called Eitz Yehuda. So there's a tree of Yosef and a tree of Yehuda, with a staff of each. V'karev esam echad el echad, they'll be brought together, close together to one to the other. V'asisim le'eitz echad, until such time as the two staffs, or two scepters, or two trees, become interwoven, they become one. So what's the connection to the Haftorah? What does it have to do with the two distinctly different paths amongst the Jewish people, two dimensions? For the Jewish people, at some point, we divided. And there was Malchus Yehuda. There was the royalty of the monarchy of Yehuda, which was centered in Yerushalayim. And that was in the southern area of Eretz Yisrael. Only two Shvatim, only two tribes went along. It was only Yehuda and Binyamin. And then there was a northern kingdom, Malchus Yisrael, which was led by Ephraim. And the rest of the Shvatim had aligned themselves with this other Malchus, this other monarchy, which ultimately collapses. And the Aseret Shvatim disappear. There were Levites on both sides. Levites did not have any territory. So what happens ultimately? The prophet at the time is living in the first Beis HaMikdash when there is a divergence. And he says, in the end, this divergence, or these different paths will be eliminated, and they'll come together. So what's the connection to the Parsha? Parsha is a story about the Shvatim coming together. And the Haftarah is Dugmas Hagashas Yehuda Li Yosef. The Parsha opens with Yosef approaching, Yehuda approaching Yosef. So just like Yehuda approaches Yosef and is able to come together with him, and the brothers are reunited, so too the schism that will develop amongst the Jewish people will be erased, and the Jewish people will be united. Tzarech Lahavin. So on the surface that seems to make a lot of sense. It fits very nicely. However, V'harei V'yigash El of Yehuda, in the Parsha where Yehuda draws close to Yosef, we have a situation where Yehuda is chutzrich legeshes ulehisalis lebechinas Yosef. Yehuda is the one who has to leave his comfort zone. Yehuda is the one who has to come excuse me, has to come try to come close to Yosef. B'chidei lekabel mimenu, Yehuda needs Yosef, not the other way around. Yosef is the one in charge. He is the one calling the shots. Yehuda requires his mercy. And this meira, this shows she Yosef hu lemaila mi Yehuda. In the Parsha, in the schematic of the Parsha, where Yehuda and Yosef have to come together, who towers above who? Who is supreme? Yosef. Ve'ilu, however, conversely, in the content of the Haftarah, which initially begins with the idea of the unity of the Jewish people, which seems to be a fair weather reflection of the idea that takes place in the Parsha. However, in the Parsha, the emphasis is that Yosef is dominant. But if you read the Haftarah through to its climax, the climax of the Haftarah is V'avdi David Melech Aleihem. The climax of the Haftarah is that my servant David will be king over them. V'David Avdi Nasir Lehem Le'ilam. David, my servant, will be the eternal ruler. In other words, the Haftarah leads us in a very different direction. In a direction where Yehuda is L'mayla Miyasef. Yehuda rises above Yasef. Hey, talk for the tissue, please. Thank you. So the Rebbe says, the af, even though Shabanigela eats Yehuda Ksivil of Nei Yisrael Chaverov, or Beit Yehuda, Beit Ephraim Sivachol Beit Yisrael, even though the Haftorah seems to indicate some kind of supremacy on behalf of Yosef, who is Malchus Yisrael. Because in the Haftorah acknowledges that when it comes to the Eitz Yehuda, it's Ulevnei Yisrael Chaverov, and to the Israelites who support him. However, when it comes to Beis Yisrael, when it comes to Malchus Ephraim, which is the Malchus of Yosef, it says V'chol Beis Yisrael, the entirety, because Yehuda has got just Binyamin, and Yosef has all of the Aseres HaShvatim. So that seems to indicate Yosef is more successful. Yosef is more predominant. Okay, that's fine. That's in the beginning of the Haftarah. That's in the developmental, so to speak, stages. Mikol Makom, La'acharei V'korav Esam. After they come together, what happens then? What happens then is David Avdi, and David's Nasi Lahem. So David becomes the Nasi. I'll call Beis Yisrael. And so the Haftarah, without a question, leads us in the direction of the supremacy of Yosef, of Yehuda. Thank you. Not of Yosef. Thank you. Vim Kain. If so, and you move on, we don't understand. Ma'u ha-shaychas shal ha-haftarah la-sedra. Even though on the surface they seem to be following a common theme, if you follow through, they're actually the opposite themes. They're common, but the opposite. They have a totally different direction. The direction of the Parsha is where Yehuda needs Yosef. The direction of the Haftarah is where Yosef needs Yehuda. So inasmuch as they're similar, they're totally contradictory. They have different conclusions. And the Rebbe goes further and he says, we know that the name of a Parsha is indicative of the content of the entire Seder. And therefore, in Parsha's Vayigash, it's not just in the opening scene where Yehuda needs Yosef. And then later on, afterwards, the roles are reversed. Not so. In Parshas Vayigash, we have the Milo, we have the virtue of Yosef emphasized throughout. In the whole Sedra, who is the one calling the shots? Who is the one really important? Yosef. Yosef is the king. He is the one who makes sure that everybody gets what they need. The whole Parsha, and even into the next Parsha, is Mesuper, with the story, is told, Ech shekol ha-shvatim huzke kuli Yosef. Everybody needs Yosef. Val pize, yukshe be-yeser, ha-shaycha shel haftarah. This makes it especially difficult to understand the connection between the haftarah and with the additional reading from Yecheskel and the actual Parsha. Because the Torah of Siyam haftarah, the content of the Haftarah leads us in one direction, which is very different from the direction of the Parsha. I'm going to skip to the next paragraph because I want to be able to get somewhere today. The Rebbe goes in and shows how the same problem also seems to develop in the Torah Ur of the weekly Parsha. Where in the weekly Parsha, the Alter Rebbe talks about all this in spiritual terminology. And once again, in the Maimer on Torah Ur, who comes out on top? Yehuda. That which represents Yehuda, which is something called Daimim. Whereas Tzemeach, the inanimate representing Yehuda, is supreme. Whereas Yosef, who represents Tzemeach, of vegetation, is secondary. And the Rebbe asks the same question. So the Haftarah doesn't seem to follow the theme. But the Rebbe says not only that, in the Alter Rebbe's Chassidish Parsha, in the Alter Rebbe's Memorim, which are selected for the Parsha, we have the same problem, the same issue. It doesn't seem to follow that common theme. Then so the question becomes, what's going on here? The Yuvan Kozeh will understand this. Then the next paragraph, Bahagdim Tchilo Bir HaSoga, pardon me, HaGosha, the Yehuda Yosef. We have to first better understand this drawing close, this notion that Yosef comes close to Yehuda. When he comes close to Yehuda, What's Yehuda trying to do? On a very literal level. He's trying to awaken, arouse compassion on behalf of Yosef, who he doesn't know is Yosef. He thinks he's some erratic emperor. The Lifei Letzlei, he's trying to get through to him, to be effective, and in some way convince him that he should allow Binyamin to return. She Yashav Leis Binyamin. Omar Loi, so in making his argument, why Yosef should give in, even though Yosef says, I'm right, he stole my goblet, I should take him as a slave. Omar Loi, Yehuda says, Ki avdecha orav esanar, for your servant has placed surety, has guaranteed the safety of the young man. Who is the young man? Binyamin. The kivan shebepashtas enyanu, if we speak about this in a very, very literal way, hataina, the complaint, ki avdecha, hutam, she yashav le es Binyamin, he's trying to explain why he should restore Binyamin to him. Keinu gam bepnimis enyanu. This is, besides the literal level, it also reflects something on a deeper level. Emphasizing the idea of avdecha, your servant. Even though Yehuda was considered the king amongst his brothers. And even in that time, because as we learned yesterday, Yehuda was sent before the rest of his family to establish the yeshiva, to prepare things along. And why did Yaakov give that responsibility to Yehuda? Because he was the leader. Because he was capable of doing this. The Isa Medrash, it says Shemasha Shalach Yehuda was sent, is because She Yehuda Hiya Melech Be'echav. He was the one who ruled over his brothers. And what he would say would go, and he would have the political capital to be able to influence all of them. So therefore, he sent him first. Nonetheless, when Yehuda introduces himself in the beginning of the parsha, inasmuch as he occupies a position of prominence amongst his brothers, how does he introduce himself to Yosef? Avdecha, your servant. So what does that mean? The inyan, the thing is like this. Hini yadua, we know shekol yisrael arevim zeh lazeh. This is this famous statement. It's found in Gemara and Shavuos, other places in Chazal. Kol yisrael arevim zeh bazeh, or in other places it says kol yisrael arevim zeh lazeh. The point is, we are all surety for one another. We're all responsible for one another. A person can say, "Well, I do my thing. I can't be bothered with some other Jews." The Jews don't care about Yiddishkeit. That's their problem. It's not my problem. No, it's actually wrong. We are responsible for each other. And therefore, if somebody is not living the way he or she should be living, that's my problem too. Because we're all in a position of guarantorship. Shekipshutei, on a literal level, it means, kol echad u'arev b'shvil hasheni. Everybody's got to step up to the plate for somebody else. V'yesh oid pirush. There is another interpretation in this concept of arevus. This is what says in Chassidus, that it's miloshen me'uravim, that it comes from the terminology we're all mixed together. In other words, you have a common lot. So you take the different ingredients and you mix them in a pan, or you mix them in a pot. They don't remain separate; they all become mixed together. The sugar, the oil, the flour, the eggs, everything becomes one. There's a common goal here. We're not viewed independently. The chol yisrael me'uravim zeh bezeh. We are all mixed into each other's business. So a person comes and says, don't mix into my business. What's the answer? It's not my doing. We already have a mixed bag. We already have a mixed lot. It's like people would go into business together and they would pool their resources. So now, in a literal level, in the Gemara's time, they would physically take money and put the money together in a common satchel or in a common box. And now they would say, we entered into a shutfus, a partnership. So one partner wants to do business. He wants to purchase or sell something, and the other partner says, hey, one second, that's my money too. He says, well, I'm just using my part of the money. No, api alacha, once you become connected, even if you each put $10,000 and now you have a pool of 20, so the guy says, you know what, I'm going to take out 10,000 and I'm only going to spend up to 10,000. This doesn't work like that. Every dollar, 50 cents is mine. Every penny, half of it's mine. We're doing this together now. And that's the meaning, the inner meaning of Arevim. Do you know why everybody is responsible for each other? Because everybody is mixed together. This was explained in detail in the Maamar that the Rebbe delivered that year on the Parsha before, which was also on the Haftorah, and it spoke about the menorah, because that was the Haftorah of last Shabbos. And in that menorah, we say that the menorah is a metaphor for the nation of Israel. And even though there are seven branches in the menorah, which represent seven different kinds of paths that Jewish people might pursue or find themselves in. Nonetheless, pardon me, Heman Nerida Zahav Kula. It's all gold. It's all the same material. Obevur B'Lakuta Teda explains L'Kuta Teda. The Kamoisha Menorah, he miksha achas, just like the Menorah is hammered out of a single piece. Shal yedei hamiksha, when you hammer the Menorah, makisha meisa nasa mashal amayla lamata, or mashal lamata lamayla. The reality is, even when you hammer something like metal, that when you hammer it, the gold moves. We're not even talking about the quantum physics, which is a constant state of movement. To us, it would look solid; it's not really solid. But physically, the gold moves from one area to the next because it's hammered. Because the blunt force of the hammer, of the chisel, and therefore, the gold that starts off on the bottom when it's hammered can easily move into the top. The block of gold later, when it emerges as a menorah, instead of being a block of gold, what was on top is on bottom. What was on bottom is on top. Everything is moved about. Kach so too, kol yisrael areivim zeh bezeh. All the Jewish people are responsible for one another. Kalaymar, in other words, me'uravim zeh bezeh. They have a mixed lot. Shehiskal lozu, that this kind of melding, mixing, this kind of coming together as one, nailas yeser me'inyin eskalos mashabereish mekav meharegel. This is a loftier metaphor than the idea that a person's body, when a body is filled with, so to speak, the common energy. So the person has a head and the person has a foot. Does it make any sense to say that the head is angry at the foot, or the foot is angry at the head? Obviously not. They're part of one body. Furthermore, we know that everything has a contribution to make. So if a person's got to figure out how and what to do, what does he need to have? A working brain. And he needs to be able to see the head. He needs to hear the head. He's gathering information. He needs to collate to figure out the information, the brain, and so on and so forth. However, what happens if there's a fire? You could have the finest brain in the world. If you don't have feet, what happens to you? You're in big trouble. Because when you need, and there's a fire, what do you need? As they say in Yiddish, chab the feast of life. You need feet that work. So everybody needs everybody, so to speak. Sometimes we need the head, and the head's really important. And when you go to combat or football or hockey, you wear a helmet on your head, not necessarily on your tuchus, but still, nonetheless, every part of the body is needed. And in the Hiskalos of Miksha, however, so that's in the Hiskalos, in the common lot of saying the Jewish people are metaphorized as a single body, where everybody serves a function. But when everybody serves a function, ultimately there's one part that remains prominent, there's a head, and there's a foot. However, when we talk about the Miksha, when we talk about the hammered out, ultimately everything becomes one. What's on bottom is on top, what's on top is on bottom. And therefore, we cannot, this is the idea of true oneness. So this is the idea of two levels of our mixed together. We said avdecha arav is hanar. So we want to explain this. This means this is the concept Yehuda when he says, "I have placed surety for the lad." It's not just that he has placed surety. This is a Jewish idea that we're responsible for each other. Which idea of being responsible for each other ultimately means because our lot is mixed, because we really aren't separate, distinct, and apart from each other. And ultimately, that's a higher form of oneness. So let's go to the next paragraph now. V'hine, af shekol yisrael mu'uravim zeh bezeh, even though all of the nation is mixed together, shalachein, therefore, ba be'inyin ha'arvos kipshutei, there comes with regard to this unison together, literally, that we say, kol yisrael areivim zeh bezeh, mikol mokem yesh bezeh chalukim adregis. Nonetheless, there are different levels. Like it says in Sefer HaGulgulim of the Kisvei Arizal, it says that there are different souls that have different missions. If you look at a person, let's say that we all have a common lot. Let's say that we're all responsible for each other. My head is responsible for my body. My head is more responsible for my body than it is for your body. You can't get away from that. And he says, so it is also. The leader of a particular tribe is responsible for all of Am Yisrael. How do we know he's responsible for all of Am Yisrael? Because every Jew is responsible for all of Am Yisrael. Nonetheless, if he's the leader of a particular tribe, where does his responsibility lie first? His tribe. So he has more of a responsibility towards his tribe than he has towards somebody else. Sha'arivu Yisrael, he's more of a guarantor, avu shivtei, for his tribe, mikamay l'shar Yisrael. Like the Baal Shem Tov said, the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, he gam lemishal irav leishamim ben aloylam. It's also for somebody who you never saw before. It also means it's not the same level. The first mitzvah of Avos Yisrael is the person next door. That's the first mitzvah of Avos Yisrael. And then we say, even you don't know him, even so the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael applies also. But that's on a different level. For example, the mitzvah of hecheich techiach, the mitzvah of rebuking. We have a mitzvah. When you see a fellow you do something wrong, you have a mitzvah to open your mouth and say, this is wrong. Totally inappropriate. I'm sorry. How do you move on? The yesh nehefresh b'hachiyuv k'meishahu b'beisai. It's understood that there is a difference between the responsibility that a person has for his own home, u'k'meishahu b'irei, u'mimidinasai. You live in a city, something happened in your city, you're responsible for it. How about what happens in Calgary? I'm a little responsible. I'm more responsible for Calgary than I am for Dallas. Why? Because I'm a Canadian. Because I live here in Canada. So a Canadian rabbi is going to be more responsible for Canadian communities than he is for American communities, for example. That's understood. And if something goes wrong in the city of Toronto, so if you're a rabbi in the city of Toronto, you're more responsible than what goes on in Montreal, Calgary, and so on and so forth. So we're all responsible for each other, and we see something wrong, we all have a responsibility to speak up and say, this is not right. We should try to fix this. Nonetheless, there's a different level of arvus. So when Yehuda comes along and he says, Avdcha arvus hana, what does that mean? The rest of the brothers are exempt? The rest of the brothers don't care. Binyamin, whatever. Yehuda is going to be the one to stand up and fight. It doesn't mean the other brothers aren't responsible. Gam shana achama yeshayachim shavarevim. And for sure, Binyamin is connected to Yaakov. So, Nafshek Shudu Ben Nafshek, we say. They have a soul bond. Nonetheless, Yehuda is more responsible. As Rashi says, Nichnas Latigar Yoser. He enters the fray more so. Misha Erachov. Why? Because Orev Esanar. He took responsibility. So it is also on a spiritual level that Yehuda and Binyamin have a special connection. And the Rebbe works out in a spiritual arithmetic how Binyamin and Yehuda, because of the different levels they represent, Binyamin is more connected to Yehuda, and that's why, in the end, when Israel divided, Binyamin and Yehuda ended up together. On to the next paragraph, skip the next little part. V'zeo v'yiga shalav Yehuda, this is the meaning of Yehuda came close. Yehuda represents what we call in Kabbalah Malchus. Malchus is dominion or majesty. Yosef is the idea of Zoh. So this idea of a person's emotions, and then this idea of a person taking responsibility. We basically can be divided into three sections. Human activity. The cerebral activity. Ideas and development and opinions and biases. But that's all attitudes. It's all in the mind. And then there's the way we engage, which is called emotional. It's a range of emotions. And then there's the way we take responsibility. Malchus is taking responsibility. Yehuda represents taking responsibility. And therefore, when we talk about, there's this idea that's brought out in the Zohar, that the blessings of Shema and the Shema, this represents Yosef. And then the Shmoneh Esrei represents Yehuda. The Shmoneh Esrei, how do we recite the Amidah, the Shmoneh Esrei? Silence, quiet. How should we recite the Shema? With great fervor, with great feeling and emotion. Because ultimately, all the emotion has to lead us in the direction of let's get the job done. So Shmoneh Esrei is the let's get the job done. That's why they say there was great tzaddikim or chassidim. The Shmoneh Esrei would daven the faster than all the rest of the davening. They would take more time getting up to Shmoneh Esrei. And one tzaddik once explained, you train and train and train and train. And then the day of the battle comes. So what do? You execute the battle. You just get it done. So you come, you shoot 1, 2, 3, and it's finished. So the Shmoneh Esrei is the high point. That's the climax. But the climax is you get it done. Preparing for the climax, this is the challenge. So Yosef represents preparing for the challenge, preparing for the moment, and Yehuda represents the moment. That's the idea of royalty, of majesty. And this is why Yehuda says, Yidaber no avdecha ba'ozne, you can't say dvarei b'fi, he says, I have to speak to you, my words should go into your mouth, it's a whisper. How is Shmoneh Esrei recited? In an undertone, in a whisper. Which this is called tachlis habitul. In the language of Torah, it's called a total state of nullity, self-abnegation. As it says in the Gemara and Shabbos, Avde kame more, like a servant before his master. That's what the Shmoneh Esrei represents. So this bittul, this represents the concept of Yehuda. Yehuda comes to Yosef with an extraordinary bittul. So all of the emotions, all of the good feelings, all the passion has to be translated into some kind of actual commitment, where at some point the person cares very deeply about something, and I'm very worried and concerned about something, so what are you going to do about it? I'm going to put aside my interests, I'm going to put aside my needs, and I'm going to focus on what has to be done. This is the idea of Malchus. The king doesn't say, what's in it for me? Am I going to get some glory or grandeur? That's not a king. A real king is a queen. A real Malchus is the idea of, it's not about me at all. The royal has a life of absolute selflessness. In order for him to accomplish this, however, the royal has to be a royal, and he has to be exalted, and he has to be raised up, and he has to have all these wondrous qualities, because otherwise nobody's going to listen. The king has to act presidential. He cannot be a backslapper. He can't be amongst the people. But at the same time, the king, deep down, has to be a person who experiences total self-abnegation. And this is where the Maamar goes. How is it that the Parsha, which speaks about Yehuda approaching Yosef, ultimately climaxes in the Haftorah of Avdi David, Nasi Aleim Lo'ilam? Here's how it goes. Yehuda's job is to come with a state of self-abnegation. His job is to humble himself before Yosef. But ultimately, the humility of monarchy leads to the greatest rise of glory for the king. So the king is exalted, but that exalted nature only comes when the king or queen is ready to live a life of total self-abnegation. So the parsha represents the preparatory state, where Yehuda comes and humbles himself before Yosef. Where does that eventually develop? Eventually, that reaches the level of exalting the king. And when will this be experienced in its fullness? With the coming of Mashiach, who is Ben David from the tribe of Yehuda. And that is the undercurrent of what's really going on here, the interplay between the Parsha and the Haftorah, and how one path ultimately leads to the other, and in the end we come to the common destination of the salvation of Am Yisrael. May it be speedily and in our days. Amen.
Amen.